Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. It is Sunday, 21 August, 2022.
Wow.
Where did this year go?
I don't know. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. For those of you that's in Eastern time zone, top of the day to you. And those of you around the world, welcome, whatever time it is. We're glad to have you with us. And for those of you that are watching this during the 7 years of tribulation, I'm glad you found me, because I'm going to give you hope. You know what? It's interesting I keep saying that.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Because I believe, I truly believe that's going to happen. People are going to find me in the 7 years of tribulation,
yeah,
and say, wow.
Help me find God now.
So let me encourage you. I need to encourage you and give a slight instruction to my wife. I have a big dark spot. Could you get me the pole light? I grabbed everything except that. I want to encourage you, and so some of you that's not in the 7 years tribulation, you're like, Pastor, why do you keep saying this? Because our God is such a loving, merciful God, that even after you have missed everything he tried to show you about him so you could go in the rapture, he is such a loving God that, whoa, I messed up the bottom there, that he is going to send you 144,000 preaching missionaries to get you right with God. The Holy Spirit did not leave, no matter what man has taught the church. Many people in the church have taught that the Holy Spirit leaves at the rapture. He does not. The church leaves. The Holy Spirit is still here, because 144,000 are going to get people born again. If you're seeing this then, you find every video under my name and you study them specifically, diligently. Why? Because God is there. He's loving you. Even after he didn't talk to Israel for 400 years, he still has been taking care of Israel. And he said, I'm not going to take my spirit away from you. I forget. It was like Nahum or Zephaniah, or one of those prophets said that. I'm not going to take my spirit away from you. Now, I want you to think about this. God brought you here today. How did you find it? Who knows? We're glad you found it. Seriously. I love this, because all my life I had a problem with preachers that you could tell they're just doing this for the money. Send me $69.95 and a seed, and God's going to bless you with $690,000 in 10 years. I had a problem with it. But this cost us money. We sow it as a seed to do. We sow it as a seed, but it doesn't cost that much money. If you want to sow a seed to the daily operation of what happens here, feel free. But you notice I don't ever come here saying, give me money, sow me seed, give me money. No, I say this. We're fertile ground. This is good ground we're in. We got good ground, 46 nation ground. When you reach us, you reach the world, because we're preaching in 46 nations of the world. How? I don't know. But glory be to God. And we want all 195 of them. I want somebody listening in every nation of the world, so that when I look at that map on Blog Talk Radio, whew, it got somebody in every nation. It's all blue, pretty sky blue. All right. Now, think about this. God brought you here, whether today, August 21st, 2022, or any day in the future. This video will be filled with faith that will answer your answers if you will let them. The only being on the face of this earth that can stand in your way of finding everything you want to know about God is you. Well, that's pretty nice of you to say, Pastor. Wait, it's me. What? Jesus has been given the name. high above every name, high above every principality, high above every power, every might, every dominion. And then it says, any name that could be named, not only now, and he chose to put his name inside of you and inside of me. And we're going to study that today in the next hour with Brother Peter. Now, I've never done this search, but I'm teaching you to do it. Open up your Bible app. I recommend eSword, e-sword.net for Apple. And then, Brother Dan, you said it's My Sword for Android? All right. And then for those of you that are like, I'm figuring them out, then go to BibleGateway.com. Man, we need to buy that so nobody perverts that. Anyways, that was a different thought. All right. And learn how. You're going to have to learn how. Quit sitting around saying, I don't know how. You're going to, I don't know how your way all the way to heaven and stand before Jesus, and he's going to say, I was inside of you. How could you say you don't know how? I say it to God all the time. I don't know how to do that. Show me. Say those words. I don't know how to do it.
I don't know how to do it.
Show me.
Show me.
Anyways.
Show me.
So today's lesson is Peter. Now, we started this series about 3 Sundays ago, chasing God like. And then with Zacchaeus. And last week, we talked about Cornelius. Ah, just man, a devout man who prayed to God always, gave alms to the people, and was responsible of hearing God, seeing an angel, getting Peter, and taking the gospel to the Gentiles. That's a pretty important figure in the New Testament, is Brother Cornelius. And what was he? Not a scribe. Not a Pharisee, not a Sadducee, not a priest, not a prophet, not anybody in the ministry. Who was he? A Roman centurion soldier. So it doesn't matter who you are. You can't say, well, God could never use me. Oh, yes, he will. He's got to get you determined to chase him. And once you come face to face with God and go, whoa, he's really real. From that day forward, you got to just, the only challenge you have is get rid of the noise. That's not your wife or your husband.
Yeah.
Or your kids. Well, who is it that takes care of my kids when I just don't need the kids? No, see, you can't do that. But watch. From that day forward, as soon as God reveals himself to you, the challenge is, all right, I'm chasing you, Jesus. No, it's not wrong to listen to music, but don't listen to music rather than chasing God. It's not wrong to watch preachers. I'm a preacher. But you gotta finally shut me off and say, all right, now, Jesus, everything he's teaching me, I believe. I can tell you're moving through him. Now, help me get it. I remember the day I said, well, thank you for Dr. Barclay, but now I got to get my own revelation.
Yeah.
Right? So we're going to see that in Peter today. And you're going to love this study. So stick with me. Let me give you a couple announcements. Right now, as we speak on this day, we're studying the series, John Bevere, The Bait of Satan, talking about dealing with offense. Jesus said in the last days, woe to him by whom offense comes. And he said, offenses are coming. That's what Jesus, he said, the King James says, it is impossible for them not to come. That's just backwards thinking. Jesus is saying, I am telling you right now, offense is coming. Learn how to deal with it. So tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, we're going to study 2 more of those sessions. You're going to have to find us in the Zoom because we can't put it public. But I want you to be here. If you cannot be here, go to YouTube, search up John Bevere, B-E-V-E-R-E, The Bait of Satan. and start studying them. They're 30 minutes long. It's all they are. And get the old one. Get the one that you can tell is old. That was when it was fresh, hot off the kettle, man. That man was just preaching. And this will change your life. And then once you get done, and maybe that's how we can do it twice. Do the old one and then come and do this, the updated one. This is another one of those series that you're going to need to study once a year. The Bait of Satan, the Book of Revelation, Driven by Eternity. They're series you need to study at least once a year, and it'll be a blessing. So, looks like Sister Sunday's with us. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Oh, my goodness, there's a whole bunch of people over here. All right, well, what's this guy's doing? I said, what's this person doing?
Oh, okay, no, it's on a different screen here.
Huh?
I didn't see anybody.
On YouTube?
Just Sunday.
In the chat. No, there's a whole bunch of people.
Chatting?
Yeah.
Wow, isn't that something? I don't see them.
All right, well, this isn't your place to preach. It's mine, so I don't need you preaching that doctrine in there. And welcome. Hope you get to stay.
It must be somebody I've already blocked.
Hope you get to stay, but you don't get to keep pumping your stuff in there. Here we go. You ready? Chasing God like Peter. Let's pray our opening prayer like we pray. I know that it's a little extra work to do this, but I really like this prayer that God gave me. So I'm going to take us there to it so that everybody can see it. Because I like this opening prayer. Let's do the theme of the year. 2022, I am rewarding you. I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. You will see many answers that come to you quickly. I am the God of answers and the God of thee immediately. Is it not live on Zoom?
Yeah, I just know that.
And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates and to the city. I love it. Ready? Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry that believers' lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Say it with me. Thank you, Father, for Jesus.
Thank you, Father, for Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus, for your blood.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen and amen. So, here we go with Brother Peter. I like Brother Peter. Brother Peter is an amazing guy. All right? I have been impressed with Peter my whole life. And I want us to go to Luke chapter 5 for the beginning of our words about Peter. If I got a little more room, just scooch back.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's good. Luke chapter 5. Now, we started talking a couple weeks ago about chasing God like so-and-so. The first one was Zacchaeus. Climbed a tree, said, I'm walking with God. I'm chasing after you, Jesus. And then Jesus didn't tell him to give everything he had away. Jesus said that to the rich young ruler, but he did not say that to Zacchaeus. So people who say you got to give it all away to go with Jesus, that is not true. But check it out. Zacchaeus, of his own accord, said, I'm going to give half of what I have to the poor. Why? Because his heart turned into a giver that fast. As soon as you find God, your heart turns into a giver. When you and I stop our heart from causing us to give, we stop the plan of God in our life. Pastor, but if I give like God wants me to, it's going to cause me to really stretch and grow, and I don't know how to do that. Yeah, it's going to cause you to stretch and grow into the faith zone that is out of this world. Think about what Jesus did. One cherry seed will produce a whole tree that after a couple of years will produce
thousands.
How many cherries will be on that? One apple seed. I remember when I was in Amway, way back in the 80s, Jerry Meadows would always say, how many orchards are in a seed? And God is making all grace abound. In what? In the seed you sow. We're going to watch Peter sow a seed right here and transform his whole world in one day. Now wait. I know, with all the preachers on the Christian TV, you think I'm going to ask you for money. I ain't asking nobody for no money. I'm not. What do you sow? Time, talent, treasure, wait, and your words spoken in faith as a partner. The most valuable seed you will ever sow is the word you speak in faith, in partnership with this ministry. Thank you if you got $100. Thank you if you got $1. Thank you if you got $1 million. But I ain't after you for your money. I need your words off of your lips spoken in faith, because you know God's working in your life in partnership with us, because those words does so much more than what money does. Can I make it any more plain than that? Watch this. Luke chapter 5. I'm in the wrong place. And I have a really good word for you, if any of you don't know this yet. If you look for Luke 5 and Luke 6, the words will just not be the same. It's deep and philosophical, but learn it. Now, you know what? I'm actually, since you're in your Bible, I'm going to actually back up to 442, and then we're going to read chapter 5. Clear down, did I tell you how far?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're going to go clear down to 11. Here we go. 442. Now, when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place. And the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. Why? Because Jesus was filled with life, and life came out of him. And they're like, don't leave us. Don't leave us. Don't leave us. Literally, that's what it's supposed to be like when you show up where people are been in a severe drought and no word. They get around you like, I just want to be with you. It's okay. Remember, they don't need you. They need the word. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. And he was preaching in the synagogue of Galilee. Chapter 5, verse 1. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him. Can you imagine? Jesus don't have no disciples yet. That's not good English. As of yet, the disciples were not following Jesus, keeping the crowd back, giving him a space. So this crowd was pressing on Jesus. And because they wanted to hear the word of God spoken by the fivefold minister on the earth. Jesus was the prophet, the apostle, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two boats standing by the lake. The fishermen had gone out from them and was washing their nets, all right, fixing up from the night's fishing. He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little from the land. He got into the boat and then asked him, hey, Simon, can you put me out a little bit? Say it with me. Peter is about to come face to face with God.
Peter is about to come face to face with God. Amen.
Did Jesus say, Peter, put some money in my hand. Give me money, and then I'll bless you. No. No. And yet, if you walk up to a preacher and say, I'm going to sow this seed into you because I know you're the gift in my life, and I am putting this into your fertile soil because I can see it is, it will work. If that's where your money's supposed to be, and that's who you're supposed to be connected with, and that's the assignment God gave you to do. Did you hear all those ifs? It's a whole lot of people just running around throwing money at people. You give me $79 and I promise you in 79 days it's going to come back to you. Well, no, you can't do that. Ready? Get off of that. I keep getting stuck there. Next time I'm there, put the sign up that says stuck. And ask him to put a little from the land. He sat down and he taught the multitude from the boat. That's verse 3. Verse 4. Luke 5, 4. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a catch. Now, Peter sowed a seed to Jesus that day. What was it? His time, a portion of his business, his boat. But most of all, Peter gave his time. We know by the story he fished all night and caught none. He was ready to go home and go to sleep. Fishermen were tough men, man. They had to pull them nets in. They had big biceps like me. Anyways. They had to eat a lot of Big Macs to be able to keep doing what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night. I'm going to add a word, already. And caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. I'm getting stuck, but I'm going to keep going. Peter knew what the Sea of Galilee was all about. Peter fished there. That was his business. Peter and Andrew and James and John, brother fishermen, go out there and fish together at night so they could put the net down, and the fish couldn't see the net, and then they'd catch the fish. And he said to Jesus, you know why? Because he heard Jesus teach all of those people. Doesn't necessarily tell us what they taught, what he taught, but he probably was teaching seed time and harvest, and God's going to bless you, and God's going to heal you, and God's going to take care of you. When they had done this, verse 6, they caught a great number of fish, and their net, one net, was breaking. Jesus said to him, throw out your nets. And Peter only put down one. one of the fathers of the faith from Dr. Barclay, said after 60 years in the ministry, this is what I learned. God really does know more than me. And if I would have just learned to do what he said, when he said it, how he said it, I would have saved myself so much frustration, confusion, and heartache.
Mm-hmm.
Watch. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats. What would they have done if they'd have thrown down both nets? You don't know. Because Jesus said this. Look at verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord. Peter was a Jew. Peter had studied the Pentateuch. Most Jewish people, by the time they were 20 years old, could quote the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, the law. They could quote it. They had studied it so much they could quote it. So Peter knew about the Christ. And all of a sudden he realizes he's standing in my boat.
Can you imagine?
Now, many people like, oh, Pastor, I want Jesus to meet me like this. No, you need Jesus to have met you like he met you when he became real to you. And then, for the rest of your life, tell everybody you know that story. Make that story glorious in your life. We, Revelation 12:10, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You got to tell your testimony. Some of you will say, man, I don't even remember. Well, start thinking, because that's your power. That's what helps you crush the devil, is the power of your testimony. I can tell you mine. If I ever told it, I probably haven't even told it, have I? I'll give you my testimony in just a minute. Peter said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. And for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. What did Jesus do? Jesus performed a mighty miracle, an infallible proof, right in front of Peter's eyes. And guess what? Peter's like, oh my goodness. He was a fisherman. He might have said a few other words.
Yeah.
Wait. Peter's brother was Andrew. Andrew's in the boat with Peter. Can you imagine how big their eyes are as they're pulling them nets in? Peter, we're going to sink. Peter, this boat is sinking. That's what Andrew's saying. Peter, this boat's sinking. Hey, John, James! They get out there and they're like, their eyes. Can you imagine these four men? What was going through their mind? God, look at all these fish. And when Peter fell down on his knees and said, my Lord and my God. Revelation hit him. And Jesus said, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men. Peter's life changed forever that day. He never stopped chasing hard after Jesus, even though through all of Peter's life, we're going to watch him go up and down. We're going to watch him be bold, be brash, be whatever. But you know what? Peter was one of the three that went with Jesus everywhere he went. Everywhere he went, Peter was with him. Why? Because on that first day, he decided, I'm chasing God. Let me tell you my story. I don't think I've ever told. Maybe I have. I was a young man. Of course, grew up in a pastor's church. I've been in church now for 59 years because my mom and dad were pastors when I was born. I think I was born on a Thursday, and I was probably in church by the next Wednesday. See, now it's January 12th, in Michigan, my mom probably didn't go out on the first Sunday because of the cold and the little baby and all that. But probably by Wednesday, I was out in the cold with the little baby. But anyways, so I grew up in the pastor's home, and that's a dynamic all of its own. People say, well, you don't know anything. You've been around God all your life. Let me just tell you, one of the most places you can never be is in the pastor's home. There's some really seriously mean people in this world. But you know what? You don't hear me crying about it. Why? They're just confused. They're trying to find God and didn't. That's all. Took it out on us. We'd moved to West France. I'd started school. You know, I started building some friends. And my friend's name was Mark. And I worked hard to get him to come to church. And I wanted him to be in church and everything. But when I got to about the fifth grade, I did not know in any way how to overcome the peer pressure at school. And so in order to fit in, because I didn't understand the power of the Holy Spirit and all that, I began to cuss when I was at school, speak vulgarly. Well, I didn't even know what the words meant. Those are just the same words everybody else used, so I was using them. And I don't know, I was probably 11 or something. And I got sick one day. Couldn't go to school. So, and my mom, I was laying on the couch. She came, sat down by me. She said, I need to talk to you about your friend Mark. I'm like, okay. She said, now, sister so-and-so of the church lived next to her. And one day, he had gone over to her house and said, I really want to know God like you people do. And she said to him, well, do you know Sam? And he said, oh, yeah, we're friends. She said, well, ask him. He's a good Christian boy. And he looked at this lady and said, no, he's not. He cusses like all the rest of us.
Wow.
Well, being a good sister in the church, she went to my mom and said, Ruthie, you might want to know this. So my mom told me that, and I was humiliated. I was sad because I really wanted him to know God. And I just said, well, Mom, what do I do? She said, you need to pray and get Jesus in your heart. And so we did. We prayed right then. And I don't know that it changed everything at school because I couldn't figure out how to overcome the peer pressure. And because I was a pastor's kid, I got picked on a lot, got beat up a lot because of it. And, you know, that's just the dynamic of that whole thing that people don't realize is there. You know? But anyways, the next summer I went to youth camp in Big Rapids, Michigan, beautiful camp that caused a lot of young people to really find God. And it wasn't at youth camp. It was at the big camp after youth camp. And they were preaching. You know, I don't even know who's preaching. Might have been Leonard Raven, though. Might have been. Great revivalist. But anyways, I knew at the end of that service I needed to go to the altar. And I went to the altar, prayed. Couldn't tell you what I prayed. Couldn't tell you what the preacher preached. I just knew I needed to go up there. And I walked out of that service that morning, that night. And there was a little bookstore there where they sold Bibles. And I bought my own first Bible because I was mowing grass and doing some work and I had some money. And I bought my own first Bible. I think I bought it for like $12. Which back in 1970. Five would have been a lot of money.
A lot of money, yeah.
But that's my testimony. From that day forward, I told God, no matter what, I'm going to walk with you. My path has been a severe path since then. The gift of God in my life is huge. The enemy doesn't want that gift to go. So opposition comes. But you and I are going to see, just like Peter, No matter what, keep chasing God.
Mm-hmm.
Keep chasing God. Live in that testimony that God said, I'm going to change your world. I could tell you that night, my world changed. When I was 17 years old, I was at school in Kentucky, a Christian private Bible boarding school. And in the fall of every year, we had they called it a revival. All the kids had come back from summer, so everybody needed to get themselves back in the right place with God. You know, that's just went home, probably didn't stand up, got to learn how to do this. And I was 17, my senior year, they made me the chaplain of my class, and I knew there was more in God. And on the last night of the revival, I'm just like, I want all God. And I was kneeling. Second row, over there by the window, saying, I need you. And they were praying that I'd get sanctified, but what they were really praying is that I'd get filled with the Holy Spirit and submit to God's way. And I kept saying, I'll do anything you want me to do. And finally, Brother Swagger, one of the smartest men you could ever knew, he designed a walking bridge across the river right there. It was an exact replica of the Mackinac Bridge in Michigan.
Oh, how cool.
And then he built it. It was amazing. And he's down at the altar, and he said, oh, Sam, just ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. I said, Holy Spirit, fill me. Boom, he filled me just like that. If you could have heard a recording of that night, you would have heard me go, whoa. Why? I should have been able to just speak in the Holy Spirit language right there, now that I understand the word. It's my testimony. Since that day, I know I was filled. Well, I was 25 years old before I began to speak in the heavenly prayer language. All right? So here's Peter. He just fell down at Jesus' feet and said what? My Lord and my God. Born again, just like that. Of course, Peter wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit for 3.5 years, the day of Pentecost. And he's the one that preached the message. You ready? Let's look at what Peter does in his life. Just like the Roman centurion, we don't know much more about Zacchaeus because that little blurb is all that's there. But be willing to lay it all on the line and then chase after God. Can you imagine? He probably went from the most hated tax collector to one of the most benevolent people in the whole community. And he went from despised to loved. Now watch this. Let's go to the book of Matthew. All right? I'm just going to give you some quick references, and I'm going to read them. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Well, that's the story we just read from Matthew. Matthew chapter 8, verse 14. When Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. And Jesus healed her. So not only did Peter get born again, but he began to let all of his family become a part of it. And he invited Jesus over. Those of you that are part of this program, share these videos with many people. You might say,
that is doing your part.
Pastor, what if people don't like you or what we do? That's not up. That's not the decision you make. You and I just invite them. It doesn't matter. You might think, well, this isn't that. It's not like those or whatever. But this is us. And when the Holy Spirit says, share it, he's telling you there's something here that'll help that person. Brother John Bevere was talking about that last night. Whether you are a nurturing leader or a harsh leader. I guarantee I would never be harsh with anybody. But I'm sure there's words I say that some people say I'm harsh. Well, that means in their life I'm being harsh, and I don't even mean to be. I don't ever want to be nothing but a nurturer. That was a powerful revelation he gave us last night. Watch this. Not only did Jesus change Peter's life, now he changed his mother-in-law's life, which changed Peter's wife's life, which changed all that whole family unit of Peter's life. Matthew chapter 10, verse 2. The names of the 12 apostles are these. And then he puts all of the names in there. Peter was one of the 12. There was many people that followed Jesus. At one point, there was 500 disciples following him every day. That's a big old...
That is a big old crowd.
That's a big old crowd. Now, Matthew chapter 14. I want to go to this one. Now, of course, there's a whole lot of miracles that I'm not reading that Peter was a part of because he was with the 12. But I want to read this one. Matthew chapter 14, parable of the sower, the parable of the wheat and tares, the parable of the mustard seed, parable of the leaven, parable of the tares explained, the parable of the hidden treasure, the pearl of great price, the dragnet, and then John the Baptist is beheaded. Can you imagine? The disciples had been with John the Baptist. John the Baptist came and saw Jesus regularly. And they were all astonished. And so they went up in the mountain to pray. And while they were there, a multitude showed up. And Jesus fed the 5,000. Right? This is all in one period of about 3 days. And he had gone up into the mountain to pray and be by himself. His cousin, John the Baptist, is dead. John the Baptist's disciples is with him. His own disciples are like, they just killed John the Baptist? Seriously? You know, it's like all of us when COVID happened and Dr. Frederick K.C. Price went to heaven. And Mr. Lamb went to heaven. What's his name?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Marcus.
Marcus, yes. Marcus.
Great leader's like, what? No. Watch this. 15, I'm in Matthew 14, 15. When it was evening, he came to his disciples. His disciples came and said, this is a deserted place. Hours late, send the multitudes away. Jesus said, no, you feed them. They're on the line. In the middle of all Peter's boldness, he did not step up and say, all right, I got it. He missed it. Verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Do not look away, because you'll have a tough time finding that spot again. While he sent the multitude away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Jesus needed to pray. Do you see this?
Yeah.
When evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. There was about a 9-mile stretch where they were going, from where they were to Capernaum. And they're rowing. Now there's a storm. Verse 25. Fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost, and they cried out for fear. I mean, can you imagine? Peter, James, and John are all fishermen, and they've probably never seen anybody walking out of water. They've been out there every day.
Yeah.
27, immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. Peter answered and said, Lord, if that's you, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, bring it, Peter. Peter come down out of the boat. He walked down the water to Jesus. Do you know why Peter is this bold? Because when in chapter 10, when Jesus sent the disciples out, Peter was one of them who went out and came back saying, even the demons were subject to us. We healed the sick. We raised the dead. We cast out demons. We freely gave everything we had, and God's blessing was on our life. Peter was chasing God, and what you see here is Peter was really bold in saying, Jesus, if that's what you can do, everything else you've done, you've told me I can do, then tell me to come out there in that water too. And Jesus said, come on, Peter. Do you know what you can take away from this? God wants you and I to act just like he is inside of us. I say it all the time since I heard Brother Terry say it the other day. Think like God. Talk like God. And act like God. Our biggest challenge is to act like the God who actually lives on the inside of us. Jesus' biggest challenge was to make himself be a man and to lay aside all of that other so that he could truly be a man led by the Spirit of God. And Peter said, well, then tell me to come. He knew he needed the word from God. 29, I'm in Matthew 14, 29. When Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go see Jesus. When he saw the waves and it was boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried out saying, Lord, save me. When you and I first take a big, bold step in Jesus, and we see a revelation of what we actually have the ability to do, we're going to jump out of the boat just like Jesus and be like walking on the water. Woo! Whoa, there's some waves out here. Woo! But it doesn't mean that you can't walk on the water. It means you must keep your eye on the Word. There's periods in all of our lives where we gave ourselves completely to the Word. And what did we do? We established this realm of the Word in our life. The enemy, as soon as you start, is going to oppose, fiery dart, oppose, fiery dart, oppose, fiery dart, oppose, to get you to stop speaking that word. You don't stop speaking that word, it'll manifest and prove to you that that word can be spoken and trusted and work.
Amen.
No matter how much word you've ever spoken, get back to speaking the word. That's what Peter needed. When he said, Master, I perish. Jesus reached down. Hold him up. But Jesus will reach and catch you. And your act of faith that you've stepped out in and said, I'm going to get this done. You've watched us right here. Step out in faith. Take some serious steps. Guess what? We will get it. Some fiery darts, 37 or 38,000. I'm not going to glorify those fiery darts. It's nothing but a pigeon. Say this with me. Jesus redeemed me by his blood.
Jesus redeemed me by his blood.
Therefore, my past is no longer relevant. Except that I grow and learn from it.
Except that I grow and learn from it.
It's the greatest challenge that anybody's going to have. Is to say, yeah, but I didn't grow up like you. I didn't grow up like that. I grew up like this. That's enough of that. Because you won't be able to stand before Jesus on that day and say, well, I grew up like this. He's going to say, what did I tell you to do? Do it. Your first couple steps are shaky. Man, you should have seen my first Blog Talk Radio program. It was called Proverb, Prayer, and a Miracle.
I'll have to go back and watch it. Or listen to it.
I don't even know if I know where to find it.
Mm-hmm. Sunday. I love the word.
God had been speaking to me to go on the radio. And met that young man that had this program, and he asked me to come on and talk about Jesus. So I did. Charlie asked me to come on and talk about, actually, I went to Charlie and said, what's it cost to be on your station? He said, what have you got? And I told him, he's like, he gave me a price. And right away, I couldn't pay for it. I mean, like, right away, I could not pay for it. There was just no money to pay for it. And I finally had to go to him. I said, Charlie, I can't pay for this. I'm on. He goes, man, everybody loves your program. They call in and say, we don't know who this guy is, but please keep him.
Wow.
So you know what he said? He said, what can you do for me that would equal what your program is? I said, I don't know. And he said, do you have access to a brush hog? And I said, well, yeah, I probably do. Why? He said, well, my tower out there needs to be brush hogged. They like to keep it all down so that fire don't build. Lightning strikes the tower. You don't go down and go through the dry grass and start a fire. He said, if you'll brush hog that for me every time I need it, we'll just call it good. Now watch this. Watch how God works. I didn't have a brush hog or a tractor. But a man in my church was a farmer. And I went to him and I said, Brother Cal, what's the chance you got a tractor and a brush hog? I do. It's an old one. I said, well, would you sow a seed? He goes, what are you doing, Pastor? And I told him, he goes, oh, yeah, we did it. He said, you know, just give us a heads up when you need it. And he said, we'll cover the fuel. You drive the tractor. You do the work. We'll sow the seed with you. Now, wait. Brother Cal sowed a seed. That farm sowed a seed. I sowed a seed. And Charlie sowed a seed. And that program became one of the most enjoyed programs he had. Because of me? No, because of just simple obedience. My first proverb prayer and a miracle program lasted about 7 minutes. What did he tell me? He said, start Blog Talk Radio and read the proverb. How long does it take to read the proverb? 3 minutes?
Yeah, maybe.
And then he said, pray for people. All right. So then I began to pray for people. And then the principle of faith about prayer came into it. Well, then my dad came on and began to read the proverb with me. Now the program's reaching 27 minutes, 30 minutes. Those first steps were very, I don't know what I'm doing, but let's just do it. And yet look at us now. We're on Blog Talk Radio, Zoom, YouTube, Facebook, 46 nations of the world. Why? Because we just don't say no. Peter jumped out of the boat and walked out there with Jesus. He's the only one. Let's be like Peter. Let's be like Peter and jump out of the boat and walk with Jesus. Hey, you might start going down when you get out there. And you might be like, wow, Jesus said this works. I wonder why it's not working. I had Dr. Winston on for a few minutes this morning. And he said, listen to me. He said, some of you think you need to get a third job so you get enough money to live on. No, you don't. He had love it. Go watch this morning's message at 9. He just watch his offering message, okay? But he said, wages are limited by time. Yesterday, My time was limited. 10 loads, that's all I got. Why? Because you're out of time. But he said, when you sow a seed, it's not limited by time. It's limited by the faith you speak. If you don't put a limit on your faith in that seed you sowed, there ain't no limit. Look at the woman that said, this guy's a prophet. She said to her husband, you, sir, my husband, are going to build him a room on the back side of our house. We're going to put a bed, a light, a lamp, and a table in there. Every time he comes through, we're going to let that prophet stay in there and I'll feed him. And he said, I ain't doing that.
No.
Evidently, he said yes because she did it.
Yeah.
And the prophet came through and they blessed the prophet, refreshed him. The prophet said, you've been doing all this for me. What do you need from God? I don't need anything. I'm just glad to help you. So she said. The prophet's servant said, she doesn't have a child. She wants one. Of course, being barren in those days, that was a shame. So she sold a room and got a baby. Dr. Winston's point is this. The fish in Peter's net didn't come from the sea. They came through the sea from heaven. Why? Because Peter sowed a seed in Jesus and blessed that ministry to that day where he could get Jesus out and use the water as a megaphone and preach to that whole crowd. And his seed immediately came to pass. When Dr. Winston said this morning, I'm like, yeah, Doc. This is me here at my house. Yeah, Doc, you know how to say it, and it come to pass immediately. And God said, and if you'll just do the same work that Dr. Winston did, it'll come to pass for you. But you're just learning. Don't stop speaking. See, what does the fiery dart cause us to do? Stop speaking the word. And as soon as Peter jumped out of the boat and saw them big waves, he's like, look at Jesus standing up there in that big wave, and I'm not. If you haven't thought about it lately, stop for a minute and think about Jesus standing on them waves.
Mm-hmm.
Was he surfing? Or was he walking in this? Was he on top of the swells, or was he down in the valley? Doesn't matter. Peter jumped out of that boat. And if you've jumped out of the boat in faith, then don't you let go of your faith. Because I guarantee you, the enemy's already wore out. Because Jesus crushed him. The enemy has no power except to throw a fiery dart and say, see what they said about you? See how they treated you? See what you did back then? What are those words? What is it? It's just a picture. Crush it. Crush it about your family, crush it about your children, crush it about your health, crush it about your finance, and just say, that's a picture. By the blood of Jesus, that's not going to be the case in my life.
Amen.
Find that song by Charity Gale, Thank You, Jesus, for the Blood, and learn it and sing it. And every time a fiery dart shows up, just start singing it. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood, because the blood gives you access to stand. I got to get one more of these in. Matthew chapter 16. Can you imagine what happened when Peter got back to the boat? Andrew's like, Peter, what's wrong with you? Peter's like, that was Jesus out there. Why didn't you guys get out of the boat? What's wrong with you guys? Many scholars believe Peter had another brother that drowned at sea. Peter didn't care. He jumped out of the boat. Matthew 16, 13 through 20. Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi. He asked the disciples, saying, hey, boys, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, look, he is admitting I'm a man. They said, some say John the Baptist, Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you're the first church of the holy fire and signs following. And we have a big building and we have a wonderful offering. And our furniture is real comfortable and the carpet's nice. That's not the Jesus. That's the building that Jesus provides for all of them people to get together and learn about Jesus.
Amen.
Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Peter, you're blessed, because that revelation didn't come from a human. That came because you are talking to my Father. And he said, I'm going to tell you this. You're Peter. He changed his name from Simon to Peter. And on this rock, that I'm the Christ, I will build the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against me. John chapter 5 does not mention Peter's name. But let's go there real quick, because John chapter 5 had happened before Jesus is walking on the water. All right? Jesus said in John 5, 16 through 30. John 5, 16 through 30 is the story, is the place where Jesus talks about being one with the Father. And they were trying to kill him. Verse 19. Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he, the Father, does, the Son does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all the things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son raises and gives life. Let's go down. 26. As the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he's given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Verse 30. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear from the Father, I judge. My judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own, but the will of the Father who sent me. Do you know what Jesus is saying to Peter in Matthew chapter 18? You've been watching me as I communicate with the Father, and you learned from me. Peter was such a diligent student of watching Jesus chase the Father that Peter was able to say, you're the Christ. Why? Because the Father had revealed it to him. Chase God like Peter. Just get bold. Just get bold. Jump out of the boat. And then when you're out there, and it looks like all everything is, well, in the name of Jesus, come to pass. What are we going to do? God's in us. And when he shows you that picture, don't ever stop speaking that picture till it comes to pass. I have a huge picture that he showed me. I had an angel in the car with me on the in the lift car one day. I was totally discouraged. I mean, seriously, I got to make some money. First person I pick up is an angel. He gave me a picture. Never dropped it. Haven't said it every day. Never drop it. Why? Because it's not my picture. It's his. It's not my timeline. It's his.
Amen.
I'm going to chase God. And when he says, jump out the boat, I'm going to jump out the boat. They're like, well, Jesus, here we go. And what happens as you jump out of the boat and keep speaking? You build the strength so that your faith won't need any time. You speak it, comes to pass. The woman that was the prophet's wife, the prophet died. That day, God performed a miracle for her. Oh, maybe a couple days, but it wasn't like 3 years. Pastor, what do I do if I've spoken things and they haven't come to pass in a day like that? Just don't stop speaking it, because there is a point where you will have built your and established your faith in the Word, in His blood, His righteousness, the power of the Holy Spirit, and His Word. But nothing will stop it. All of a sudden, it'll start rolling. And the answers will be right there. And you'll be like, ah, here it is. Here it is. Speak it. Speak it boldly. Fiery darts will come with it. Just say it. That's just a picture. I got the blood of Jesus. I got the power of the Holy Spirit. God Almighty lives in me. That's just a picture. I've been redeemed from all them pictures. They have no power in my life. And even though Peter betrayed Jesus the most important hour, Peter was the man on the day of Pentecost who stood up and said, "They ain't drunk. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel and preached one of the greatest messages of the Bible." When they said they were going to crucify him, he said, "Upside down, because I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord." And he died the death of crucifixion upside down.
Okay.
Why? Because that moment when he met Jesus in that boat, surrounded by fish, that totally transformed his whole business life. Peter was never the same. Now, I know some people don't agree with this, but that fishing business was still there, because 3 years later, when Jesus was crucified, Peter said, "I'm going fishing." And they all said, "We're going with you."
Yeah.
So all 12 of them got in two boats, evidently. Up there they went. I love the story. As soon as Peter realized that was Jesus on the shore, he grabbed his cloak, jumped out of the thing, and went, "You guys bring the boats. I'm going to go see Jesus." He wasn't walking on the water. But he wasn't waiting, because that was his Jesus. No matter what he's shown you, you dig that thing out. You write it out. You put some more verses in it. You ask God to show you more and more verses. You come here expecting me to give you a verse of scripture that's going to transform your life. I'm going to say a verse. I won't even know I said it. And you'll be like, "Oh, my Lord, look at that verse." Life will change. Life will change forever. Walking with God, like Peter, determined. Peter ain't at the gate, just so you know.
He might be.
There might be a few Marines at the gate, but, you know, they're guarding the gates of heaven because they're not good enough to get in. No, if you got the blood of Jesus, you're in. No matter what you've ever done, no matter how much you may have betrayed the Lord, His blood has made you and will make you right every day. The past doesn't matter. Pastor, shouldn't I be ashamed? Nope. Because God can't use you when you're ashamed. You got to get up and get moving. Jesus, Peter cussed and swore and said, "I do not know him," after everything Jesus did for Peter. That's a pretty heavy betrayal.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
And yet God said, "Peter, get out there and preach. Hey, these aren't drunk. This is what the prophet Joel said." He wasn't worried about that sin. He'd been filled with the Holy Spirit and said, "Whatever." Get bold. Not obnoxious. Not brash. Don't be stupid. But be bold.
But be bold.
Don't treat people wrong.
Right. Amen.
Be bold. Be filled with love. I got to tell you a cool story. I'm going to tell the whole world. So, Brad, if you're listening, you know, I didn't send you a picture yet, but I'll send it to you here in a little bit. See water on the ground and a lot of the disposals. And I'm like, man, we got to get this fixed. So I'm taking pictures, not to turn anybody in. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. I just want to say, wait, guys, we can't do this. Mm-hmm. I'm taking these pictures all day yesterday. And then the program's on, and I just have a big old mess.
Isn't that something?
So I got to add my picture to it, just like everything else. And it's like, my goodness sakes alive. And my like, well, Pastor, why did you have to make a mess? I'm telling you what, it was right when the program was getting ready to start. Listen to this. And this well, you got two tanks. Watch this. You got two tanks. And on the bottom, you got a pipe that comes from that tank to this tank, and then one pipe that comes out where I fill up. But both of the tanks are hooked together. All right?
Yeah.
Well, this tank, for some reason, is filled with something, and the valve's closed. But that leaves all of this pipe across here to be filled with water when I unhook from this tank. And I wasn't thinking about it necessarily. And my trailer, my little gauge thing on the outside.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
For that well decides it isn't going to move at all. You're like, how am I going to know if I'm full? So I'm over watching this gauge, that the electronic gauge. You know. Well, I'm getting close. So I take off running. I go over there and I shut the valve. And I'm like, ah, I've completely filled the whole truck up. But there's a valve right there you can usually shut. And it's just, you got about this much hose, and it'll run in the little box, Getty box, and it's okay. Next time you come, you suck it out. Everything's all right. Except that valve don't close. It won't move. So I got all that water in that pipe and all that water in that pipe trying to fit in this little thing. And I'm like, whoa, whoa. I pull it off. I'm like, oh, no, I got too much water, so I'm forced. This is while you were getting ready to start with the bait of Satan last night, being offended, okay? So I stopped. I got everything hooked back up. Well, it's a simple process. Open all the valves, put my pump backwards, push the water back into the tank. Right? That's simple. Mm-hmm. Close the valve, put it back on suction, suck that pipe out. So I do it. It's a simple process. We know this. And I don't push enough water in there. And I don't have enough suction to clear that pipe. I'm like, well, how big is that pipe? So for three times, I'm trying to get this right. Finally, I'm just like, all right, I watch the time. I'm going to pump this many minutes back into that tank before I am done, because I ain't having no mess inside this deal. I know you're like, what's the deal, Pastor? So I get it done, and I do it without making a mess. I actually get it all done, no mess. Thank you, Jesus. And I've got to close the valve. So when I show up at the disposal and crank that thing up to 30 pounds of pressure inside that tank, guess what?
Everywhere.
Oh, just a little big puddle in the back. It wasn't everywhere, just a big puddle right in the back. Anyways, as you go through life, remember, it's not about the absolute perfection of absolutely everything. It's about excellent spirit that says, oh, no matter what has come at me, I'm going to make it. I'm going to put excellence on it. I'm going to make it right. And I'm going to do it right because it is right. And God's blessing is going to be on me, and I have the favor of the Lord. And this will not, there's not one thing that can stop us. It's the enemy's completely crushed by the God that's on the inside.
Amen.
Peter will sit on one of those thrones in heaven. 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Peter's one. Chase God like Peter. No matter what, I'm going to keep chasing you to the end. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Thank you for this series. Thank you for Zacchaeus. Thank you for Cornelius. Thank you for Peter. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. I have such love respect and honor for every one of them. Bless those that aren't with us today. Whatever's going on, the month of August is a busy month. Yet we put all that busyness aside and say, I'm going to focus in on you. I am walking with you. With my testimony and my story and my faith project, and I will see thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, Father, bless every one of these people. Just lift your hands and just say, I receive this blessing. I bless every one of these people to be filled with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
To be filled with the understanding of the Word of God. That the eyes of their understanding will be flooded with enlightenment. Those revelations that you have given them throughout their life about the Word of God will come to pass. And they will see it and see you in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. It's time for communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 11, 10, somewhere in there. Open your Bible up. I'll be by there in a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28 and verse 31. Now, if you've not received communion with us, this is our process. How we're going to do it is, I'm going to read the verses. We'll lead you into prayer of salvation. That'll make sure that every one of us is right with God. In so doing, being right with God, you'll be ready to receive the communion elements. And we'll receive them together with a prayer like we do almost every time we come here. I always say every time we come here, because I say it in faith, even though there's been two times we don't get her done. Ready? Let's read. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, as often as you eat this bread, and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work until he comes. Let a man, verse 28, let a man examine himself, a woman. Even women should examine themselves. Let every one of us examine ourselves. And then, when we do, speak the blood, speak the name, speak the power of the Holy Spirit. Let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, not everybody else, we would judge ourselves. We would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, love, God's perfect love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, Jesus, right now. It's in the Bible. Read it. So are we. He's the head. We're the body in this world. Perfect love. Cast out fear and the torment, the toil, the trauma goes with it. Because there is no fear in God's perfect love. Somebody shout glory.
Glory.
We want to welcome you, no matter who you are, no matter what the church has ever told you about receiving communion. I just read to you who can take it. Let a man examine himself, whether he's at church, at a conference, at camp meeting, Christmas, Easter, every single day of the week, let a man examine himself in his own house. Then let him take of the bread, drink of the cup. As Jesus said, as often as you do this. Often doesn't mean casual, doesn't mean seldom. Often means often. You proclaim what he's done for you every day. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Jesus, I do believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I do believe you are the Son of God.
See, that's a very important thing for all of us to say.
Yes.
Now put your hands out and say, and I receive you into my life right now, Jesus.
And I receive you into my life right now,
Jesus. All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
Setting me free from every offense.
And setting me free from every offense.
I receive all the fullness of God.
I receive all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. I want to say welcome. Welcome to the kingdom of God. That's the first time you prayed that prayer. You're going to be like, woo, what's going on inside me now? All of God, like you just prayed, because the Holy Spirit instructed me to make that prayer like it is. All of God just filled your being. God just filled me? Yeah. Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith. And he just came inside of you. Your faith just got started, and now he's going to finish it. He's the light of the world, so light has now invaded every part of your being that has darkness. I didn't repent of all my sins, Pastor. You don't have to. Because when you receive the light and the power and the blood, it washes it away. From this day forward, as soon as Jesus says, what about this? You say, nope, never doing that again. There's your repentance.
There's your repentance, yeah.
It's not one day of repentance. It's the rest of your life saying, no, I ain't doing that again. People are like, tilt. What did you just say? When the program's done, back it up and listen again. You'll get it. Watch. If it's not by grace, then it's by works. It's got to be by grace and by faith, or then man will boast in what he's done to be right with God. You might say, Pastor, how in the world am I going to figure all this out? Walk with us. God brought you here. You're here. Stay with us. We're on this YouTube channel at least once a day, every day of the week. Sometimes two or three times in a day. Yeah, I know. My eyes just got the same bigness. So make sure you like the page, hit subscribe, and ring the bell so you'll always be connected with us. We'll lead you into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. If you'll email me, I'll send you some videos. I don't send an offering envelope. I send you some videos saying, learn the Bible. Doesn't even cost any money. It's all on YouTube. And then listen. Study. And all of a sudden, this word will get in. Make it better. Jesus, my name. You ready? Let's receive our elements together. If you prayed that, since you prayed that prayer, you're ready. Get you some communion juice, grape juice, and bread. Get you some bread and water. Jesus turns the water and the wine. You ready? Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus,
Father, in the name
I bless and sanctify these elements for this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace.
Is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
Right here, right now, today.
Right here, right now, today.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and
in my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing and nothing
broken. Every joint supplying.
Every joint
in my body.
In my body.
From your body, Jesus.
From your body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Let's receive his broken body together. Thank you, Father. Thank you. This isn't a one-time event or three times a year. This is a relationship you want to have with us. Every day. Now we lift up the blood of Jesus, the cup of blessing. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin.
Every sin.
That has been placed in remission.
Has been placed in remission.
In my life forever.
In my life forever.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Right here, right now, today. Right here, right now, today. Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
Yes,
by the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly.
I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague has to pass
over. Every plague has to pass over.
And cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren.
By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren.
Is cast down forever.
Is cast down forever.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is
my
purged.
Robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive. The blood of the new covenant. We don't have to sacrifice an animal. Fruit of the vine. He's the vine. We're the branches. Without him. Oh, I want to sing that song by Charity Gale, but I just don't know the words. Do you know them? Thank you, Jesus, for the blood of Christ. Thank you, Jesus, you have washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have changed my life.
You
brought me from the darkness to glorious light. Well, I'm going to have to find the words to that song because I keep wanting to sing it. I keep forgetting the words. So while I'm talking to you.
The one that I play on the worship thread, does that have the lyrics with it?
Yeah, it probably does. But this has the lyrics right here, and I'm copying it right now, and I'm never going to be without it. And it doesn't matter that you're watching me copy it. I'm just copying it. Just like that. I copied it. See how that works?
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm going to put it right over here in my song book. There it is. There. Now I'm going to sing it. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood. The blood that calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood. The blood. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood. The blood that calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by the Father through the blood. The blood. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, you have washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light.
Ooh, love it.
It's an awesome song. Mm-hmm. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, here we go. Remember, tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on our Zoom page, we'll put the information out there on YouTube for you to be able to find it. I want you to be a part of this series. It's called The Bait of Satan by John Revere, teaching us about offense, how to be free from it. Number one thing you got to do is admit it if you are. What did he say? Two-thirds of every congregation, wherever he's preached this message, has not been willing to admit that up until that point, didn't even think they were offended. But the more he preached, the more they're like, I'm offended and I better get free.
Yeah.
And God's going to help you get free. That's it. Got to run. We sure do love every one of you. Make sure you take this video and send it to all kinds of people. Good video. Great, great message today. And it'll encourage people to walk with God. And as I've been saying, if you got this during the 7 years of tribulation, study this. You turn to God. You pray that prayer. You take communion every single day. Take it 3 times a day and keep your life right with God. You may have to give your life. You may die a martyr, but it's all right. You'll be able to have eternity with a Father who loves you so much that even after you miss the rapture, he still loves you. And get ready. You're going to know the day of the rapture because at the center point of the rapture, 1260 days of the tribulation, on day number 1260, you're caught away to heaven. Can you imagine? Antichrist thinks he's getting everything done, and then on that day 1260, they're like, another billion people. He's like, you just can't beat this God guy, can you? No, you can't.
I can't. Amen.
Because there's going to be every one of the people that the 144,000 preaching to around the world are going to be raptured on day number 1260. We love the Word of God. There's no confusion if you study it. I know some of you are like, hold it. You're telling me there's two raptures? Yes. That's why those who believe in the mid-tribulation rapture are right. There is one.
Yeah.
But it's not for the born again who are here today. That's at the beginning of the rapture, of the tribulation. We're caught away. Those who miss it, man, don't miss it. Just don't miss it. Don't say, whoa, a pastor said there'll be another one. You are not going to want to be here when the church has been removed. This is going to be a wicked place. 3.5 years is 1,260 days is a long time to live to get to that next rapture.
Yeah.
I know one guy said, I'm going to stay. I want to miss the rapture so I can stay and be a preacher.
No, leave messages for them to find.
Did you hear what you just said?
Oh, my goodness.
That's another whole study. Till we see again right here tonight in the air if the rapture happens, because it can happen any moment. This is what we have to say. Remember this?
We love you.
And God loves you.
And
Jesus
is
Lord. He is Lord. All of you around the world, we love you. We bless you. And no matter where you are, what nation, I want to help you put this gospel that I'm preaching in your native language. Now get a hold of me, and I'll help you get it done. In the mighty name of Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus.